Hello, everybody. Thanks for being here at the last session of the last day of great conference. Everybody have a good conference experience so far? All right. So as Margaret has given a great intro to this, I'm going to talk a little bit today about what we're doing at the Boston University School of Public Health, if I can figure out which button to push. Looks like that one. Okay. As everybody knows, the rates of disability and premature mortality for mental illness are on the rise. An estimate of 14% of the global burden of disease related to neuropsychiatric disorders. So we know that public health education has to prepare students with the necessary knowledge and skills to help them do designing, implementing, evaluating programs about prevention, increasing access and ensuring quality of treatment, and improving the quality of life for people with mental disorders as well as their families and communities. We know also that current mental health training is limited when it comes to mental health. The paper that Margaret just mentioned is coming out in January. Liz Walker and her colleagues at Emory, Liz gave me permission to talk about her paper today very graciously. She looked at 48 of the accredited schools of public health across the U.S. and found only 7 that have a formal program in mental health. Do you want to know what they are? University of South Florida, University of Florida, Emory, Harvard, Yale, Hopkins, and Columbia. Okay, and as you'll see, we're going to add one more to this list. Okay, so closer to home in my office, one day one of my students came to me and said, I want to work in mental health and public health. Help me, because when I look for jobs, I see I need a counseling degree, I need a social work degree, I need a license, what's going on? So by the end of the hour with this student, we came up with a plan to do an assessment of what we have at the BU School of Public Health. Kelly, who couldn't be here today, just dropped in, is the student who proposed this plan. She is working in a job that is public health and mental health, by the way. Okay, so the purpose is to assess and evaluate BU School of Public Health curriculum, research, and professional development opportunities that we have so that students can make the connection between mental health and public health. So what we did was 3 things, and the first one was a systematic review of course content. So we looked at course descriptions that appear in our course catalog online and looking for topics that popped out with relating to mental health. We also did further deeper dives into syllabi for courses just so we could kind of get a better sense of how much was being covered in a given class. And we sorted them kind of qualitatively into high, medium, moderate, and low mental health content. That's just an example of a page from the catalog. 2 courses from my department, one that I teach, and one that on alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use. And so I teach the mental health and public health social behavioral perspective class. The second thing that we did was to review what the faculty were doing around mental health. So here we looked at faculty who are either teaching or conducting research with a mental health component. Again, we sorted this into high, moderate, and low mental health focus. There's, oh, there I am again. Kelly did the screenshots on this. I also have to talk about some of the limitations of our data, but this is really highly dependent on how well faculty update their faculty profiles. So the third thing that we did involved where students have actually done their practicum. We've had students who have done work in public health and mental health, but it wasn't necessarily an identifiable entity. So. Kelly really was pulling her hair out. That picture, she had a nice head of hair, but now she's trying to use the database to try to find you know, places where students were doing mental health work. And there were some problems with the search engine, but we'll talk about that too. So those are our three big things. So our findings were that across the curriculum we had 19 courses that included mental health topics. And when we looked at high, moderate, and low, we came up with these numbers. And I want to say that Liz Walker's paper found the median number of courses with a high mental health content across the nation was 2. So we're doing a little bit better. And that included all of the 48 schools, not just the 7 that she identified. So an example of high would be courses in mental health services, mental health law. Moderate would be, like for example, our adolescent health class has 3 sessions dedicated to adolescent mental health or substance use. In low would be maybe some case study examples or an opportunity to do an assignment that's related to mental health, but not a really big component. In terms of faculty, we have, I think, the dean said yesterday, about 140 full-time faculty, and 46 of us either teach mental health-related courses or conduct research with mental health content. And again, high, medium, and low focus. Not very many with the high focus. In terms of the practicum database, Kelly searched 10 years worth and, you know, kind of entered mental health topics in the search and came up with 37. And again, that limitation about this particular database, and I think we might have missed some, but at least we've got something going in there. And it's helpful for what we're going to talk about in terms of our future endeavors in this area. So what Kelly's and my project determined was that we have stuff in mental health, but we really need to strengthen and systematize our capacity in a little bit more of a strategic way for our students. So the recommendations about the curriculum, some gaps in the curriculum were that there was no mental health or psychiatric epidemiology courses, nothing in mental health. In terms of research, trying to figure out a better way for faculty doing research with a mental health component are, you know, kind of easily identified, hooking them up a little bit more readily with students who want to work with them and maybe get some research experience. In terms of practice, provide as many opportunities as possible to learn mental health advocacy and to improve that database so that people can find stuff. Then begin with the practice office to build and maintain relationships with community partners, and then provide some stuff on campus where students can get into conversation about what's going on in mental health and mental wellness and mental illness. In terms of careers, we have a great career office at the BU School of Public Health. But I think we're going to work hard to develop community partner lists and track down our alumni that are working in this area and make sure that these connections are available to students when they go searching for practice experiences and their career opportunities. So what's happened since this project was started? It's not very often you get to like make a bunch of recommendations and then do them all in 1 year, but but what's happened is we got a new dean. I don't know if anybody recognizes this guy, but Sandra Kalea has joined the BU School of Public Health in January of this year. That has really set things off on a pretty fast pace. And also, we're rolling out a curriculum redesign, and I'll talk a little bit about that for a minute. The BUMPH is a new curriculum we're starting in the fall, and its marketing slogan is a real-world public health education for today, comma, and tomorrow. Looking ahead, what are going to be the needs, the training needs for our public health professionals? So one of the things that this means is that we're revising our core courses to become a lot more integrated. I'm one of the co-leads of the individual, community, and population health course, and I can tell you that it does have mental health content, so now all students in the school will be exposed to mental health issues. Like, for example, we'll be talking about a life course approach with adverse childhood experiences and how that affects mental health and physical health. And we also are rolling out a certificate way of organizing our courses. So we have 17 certificates. The first 9 are what we're calling functional. They're skill building types of certificate areas. And what's the, well, these just got put into alphabetical order. Not order of functional and context, but students will select a functional area and a second certificate, which will either be another functional area or a context area. And as you can see, the one in yellow is the one I'm happiest about, and I'm also the lead on that one, which has been really quite exciting this year. We have a mental health and substance use certificate. So this is its description. So we're really going to, this is one of the content or context area certificates. So we're really going to try and get across frameworks and technical skills and try to figure out you know, how students can use their public health skills in this area. But we're also taking a very multi-level determinant population-based approach in trying to couple the core functions of what we train our students to do with an application for assessing, preventing, reducing mental illness and unhealthy substance use, and then promoting mental health and wellness. Competencies, smaller print, but you know, getting them to learn all sorts of new and exciting things. And how to apply them in this area. We also are talking about like what kinds of career opportunities are going to be available for students with this certificate and what types of settings. And we're very excited to start developing partnerships with organizations around Boston, around the U.S., around the world, that will have a space for BU grads. The current courses that we had on the books before this all started, they were 7, and it represented 4 different departments in our school. And what we have added, in fact, they're being proposed this week while I'm away, are the ones that really fill the gap. We have a global mental health course being proposed, one in mental health epidemiology, a mental health advocacy class, and one that I'm working on about trauma recovery and resilience for populations. This year we've also, this is my graphic, I'm not a graphic artist as you can tell, but it just kind of looked sunny and positive. We're trying to make these connections for our students between the faculty, the courses, potential employers, what's going on in Boston in this area, which is, you know, a massive amount of stuff, and it's just really trying hard to make the connections amongst all of these boxes. And so part of it is we formed a mental health, public health connections interest group. We've got to get a kind of a shot in the arm for it this semester. But we have students, faculty, and staff who get together and, you know, for discussions and film screenings, career panels. We, you know, kind of track down our SPH grads who have mental health, public health jobs, and invite them back to tell students about it. And then we're also systematizing a plan for coordinating career, practice, and alumni to really make those connections. So this quote from page 1 of a book called Population Mental Health, edited by Neil Cohen and Sandra Galea, says that, you know, if we want mental health in the mainstream, we need to apply the tools and strategies of public health. That's kind of what the panel so far has talked about, you know, the things that public health does. Surveillance, screening, and early detection, prevention, health promotion, community action, And then we want to get that into 21st century public mental health policy and practice. A really good quote, but I think a couple pieces are missing. We want to also support wellness. We want to help people with mental health issues to develop self-efficacy, manage their recovery, and we want to look at the population in terms of building resilience. So in conclusion, the BU School of Public Health is responding in a systematic manner to the current realities and challenges of population mental health. In our approach to the training of our future public health professionals so that they can work at the intersection of public health and mental health. And here's where I need a drum roll. We can now say that there are eight schools of public health with formal programs in mental health. For that. References, look for the January issue of Public Health Reports. Liz Walker's paper will be in there. I think Margaret just handed out a little sneak preview from that. And that's me. And I just put in some shameless BU advertising, but we're good.